Thank you. Pleasure to be back with you once more. Before we start today's main presentation, just one footnote to what we discussed on Monday. We had discussed a little bit about the nature of Avraham Avinu's Gerim, and we had some feedback from the crowd as to where exactly that falls on the spectrum between belief in monotheism and real bona fide Gerus. I just noticed between Monday and today that in the new printing of Rav Asher Weiss's Minchas Asher on Bereshit, which came out over the summer, which includes about 30% more material than in the old one, maybe more, there's a siman that hadn't been previously published on this very topic. It discusses some of the things that we discussed a little bit more at length about the nature of Avraham Avinu's Gerim. If you're interested, you could take a look. Today's topic, continuing on the theme of Gerus, is the role of Bezdin in the Gerus process. And as a corollary to that, what are the qualifications for Dayanim to be involved in Gerus? This time, we will start with source number one. The Gemara in Krisus Daf Tes Amud Aleph tells us, Kachem kavoseichem, ma avoseichem lo nichnesu lebris ela b'milu tfila v'artza asam, The particulars, the technical requirements, the technical steps of the Gerus process we derive from the experience of the Jewish people at Har Sinai. Just as Bnei Yisrael at Har Sinai underwent in preparation for Mamad Har Sinai Bris Mila, so too does a male Ger require Bris Mila. Just as Bnei Yisrael before Mamad Har Sinai went to the mikvah, so too does every ger or giyaris need to go to the mikvah. And just as they brought karbanos, so too when there's a beis hamikdash, gerim must bring karbanos as well. Okay, that's the Gemara in Krisus, the technical part of the gerus process. Then the Gemara tells us on the Gemara in source number two, Yevamos Mevav Amidez, that these technical requirements are not to be performed in a vacuum. Amr of Chia bar Abba Amr of Yochanan, Ger Tzarech Shlosha, Nishbak Sidbei, that Geirus requires a Bezdin of three, because the Torah refers to Geirus as Nishbak, as justice. So just as regular matters of justice require a Bezdin, so too does Geirus require a Bezdin. That's all the Gemara says. We don't necessarily know from this Gemara what components. Do all components require a Bezdin? Do only some of them? Is Bezdin Likuva? Is Bezdin indispensable? Is Bezdin only a Lechachila, only the ideal, but a Gerus could be valid without Bezdin? So that is all subject to a debate among the Rishonim. A Tosfo, source number three, Yevamos Memhei Amud Beis. We won't get into the question that leads Tosfo to this conclusion, but just take a look at line number four. The Yeshlomar Hai Divinan Shlosha Hainu Lekabalas Hamitzvos Avalo Litvila. The requirement of Bezdin of three for Gerus, that's only for Kabalas Hamitzvos, for the acceptance, the formal acceptance of commitment to live a lifestyle of Torah Mitzvos. But as far as the requirement of Tvila, and perhaps by extension Mila, those technical requirements do not, if push comes to shove, require Bezdin. According to Tosfos, Lechachila, ideally, a Bezdin should be present for all stages in the Gerus process. However, if Tvila, and perhaps Mila, was performed not in the presence of a Bezdin, it would still be valid. Yeah? Yeah, so that's a whole nother shear. It's clear in Tosfos that Kabbalah Samitz is a requirement. The 32nd answer is that the way it seems from most of the Rishonim is that Kabbalah Samitz is the sine qua non. That's the basis, that's the overarching principle that governs Gerus. It's not a technical requirement, it's not a formal act. That's the whole nature of Gerus. Gerus means if you become Jewish, you're not becoming Jewish because you like bagels and kosher fish. You're becoming Jewish because you want to live a life of Torah Mitzvos. So that's the prerequisite for everything. It's clear if you read the Rambam carefully, that's what emerges from the Rambam's presentation. So that is at least one, if not many other shiurim, perhaps for a different time. So Tosfos' position is that Geirus, that Bezdin, is non-negotiable when it comes to Kabbalah Samitzvos. However, when it comes to the other formal aspects of Geirus, Mila and Sila, Bezdin is not absolutely necessary. And other Rishonim disagree. The Rambam, the Rif, the way quoted in Shulchan Aruch, disagree, even though in the Rif itself, it's not 100% clear that's the Rif's position. That may be subject to debate as well. But just take a look at the bottom line, source number 4, the way this is presented in Hilchos Geirus and Shulchan Aruch, Simen Reis HaMechess. All of Hilchos Geirus appears in two Simanim in Shulchan Aruch. Simen Reis HaMechess, Simen Reis HaMechess in Hilchos Geirus. And technically speaking, Reis HaMechess is only about the relationships that a ger may have, the difference between arayus before gerus and after gerus. So it's really only one simon that talks about the nuts and bolts of hilchos gerus. So all the controversies in the world that take up so much of people's time and tumulting are all one simon in Shulchan Aruch. So the Mechaber writes, "Kol in yanei hager, dein lahodiyo hamitzvos lekablam." Bein hamila bein asila. So all aspects of geirus, be it informing them of the mitzvahs in order to accept them, be it mila and sila, tzarech sheyu begimel haksherim ladun ubayom. It has to be performed in the presence of three people who are kosher to be dayanim. It has to be done during the daytime because any act of bezdin must be performed during the daytime. Miu dafka lechasila. That's only the ideal. That's only lechachila. Aval bidi eved im lo mal otaval ela bifnei beis ubalayla. But bidi eved, if you perform the mila or the sila in the presence of two people, or if you do it even at night, afilu lo tavel l'shem geirus, even if you didn't have in mind that you're doing it for geirus, etc., that's still good. I'm skipping a few lines. Except for the formal acceptance of mitzvahs, which must be performed in the presence of a bezdin, must be performed during the daytime. So that's the position of Tosfos that we began with, that bezdin is only likuv, is only absolutely necessary when it comes to kabbalas hamitzvahs. When it comes to mila and tfila, licha tfila, you should have a bezdin. Did the evid, if you don't, it's still kosher. Now that line, just parenthetically, as long as it's in front of two people, why do you need two people? Right, so that's what the Shas says in source number 5. You have to establish that there's a geirus, so you don't have a bezdin. But how do you know the person converted? So you have to have at least two people who could testify to the fact that there was a conversion, and that's what you need the two people for. Okay. And then the Mechaber goes on, Ula harifa harambam, afilu bidi eved shetaval omal bifnei shnayim obalayla. According to the Rif of the Rambam, even in a Bidi Eved situation, if the Mila Tfila is done in the presence of two people, not in front of the best, then Ma'akev doesn't work. So that's the two positions in Shulchan Aruch. And we assume, if push comes to shove, like the Rambam and the Rif, that Bezdin is not necessarily Ma'akev for Mila. And that's a debate there for Tfila as well. Yeah. For a bezdin, women are not okay for... Are women okay for the two? No, so generally you have to require kasher eidim. So eidim that are kasher for eidim... I'm sorry? How does tzilas geirus work for women? In terms of preserving tzias? So the general practice, not exactly our topic, but a 30-second digression... The general practice of Batei Din is that the Lashon of the Gemara sounds like that the Nashim Moshiva Sosan, the woman, the mikveh attendant, gets everything ready in the mikveh. Then the way we do it is that either the Rav Avadya recommended or talked about using a loose-fitting robe that doesn't come through the chatitza, and some Batei Din will have a sheet with a hole around it for the head that everything's covered. So the bezdin doesn't see anything. They come into the room. The woman has her head above water, and there's a sheet or there's a robe. They see her go under. The bezdin leaves. Some other time she's up, the bezdin is gone. One of the Dayanim said to me once that people get all riled up about preserving the modesty. They think it's not a modest thing at the mikvah. But, believe me, you see a lot worse when you walk down the street of Manhattan than anyone would ever see doing gayrus in the mikvah. Yeah. That right. So that liikuva isn't an absolute liikuva, meaning we lichatchila would tell the person what that means is that lichatchila would tell the person to do another gerus. But if push comes to shove, if the person ends up marrying and having children, we would view the children as Jewish if push comes to shove, even according to that opinion. So there is. What do you mean the child would be Jewish anyway? I'm sorry. Okay, you're all right. Good. I'm sorry. The Tavel of Malbus Neshan is alive. Ma'akev Asim Yisraelis. Nasa Yisraelis. If this person. Good. If you find me in Shulchan Aruch before we die, we'll take a break and take a look at it, but let's just go on. I have to see it inside again. Okay. Good. Okay, so wherever we do require a geirus, a bezdin for geirus, be it for Kabbalah Shemitzvah, be it for Mila and Sila, what kind of bezdin do we need? So Tosfos, Yevamis Mevava Medeis, Yiva Maskel Nishpat today raises the following problem. So if we're learning out from Nishpat, so there's certain elements of Nishpat, there's certain elements of a Bezdin that require mumchim, that require smuchim, that require people who have smicha going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So most actions of Bezdin cannot be executed by a bezdin that doesn't have smuchim. So if that's the case, Tosas F, the third line in, then Tomar, va'anan hechi mekablin geirim ha bi'inan mumchim. So nowadays we don't have smuchim anymore. We don't have people with smicha going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Then how do we ever do geirus absent smuchim? Yesh lomar. The shlichusayu avdinan, that we operate through shlichusayu, through the notion of agency. That's what the Gemara develops in a couple places. That even though we don't have smuchim, we're allowed to have batei din that adjudicate matters of critical import, because we view our dayanim as the emissaries, as the shluchim of the original smuchim. So our ability to be done dinei Torah in general is a function of shlichusayu. And just as that applies to certain elements of Dinei Mamon, to certain elements of regular Choshen Ishbad Bezin activity, it applies to Geiris as well. Kamosha Choshu L'Ne'ila Selis B'Sne'i Lovin, Choshu Nami L'Ne'ila Selis B'Sne'i Geiris. Just as, technically speaking, a Bezin cannot adjudicate matters of halvos, matters of loans and payments, if they're not smuchim. Nevertheless, Chazal instituted this notion of Shlichusayu, because otherwise people would never lend money if there's no recourse to collect. So too, there's a societal interest in allowing for geirus to take place, and that allows us to invoke the notion of shlichusayu, tapping into the power, the authority of the original dayanim smuchim. That's how Tosfos understands our ability to have geirim nowadays, even though we lack smuchim. Tosfos in Kedusha in Sima Beis on the Beis quotes a different approach in the name of Rabbeinu Nisano, the bolded lines in the bottom. The Ger Ksiv L'Dorosechem, Pasuk says L'Dorosechem. The Mashra B'chol Inyan, it sounds like you have the ability to accept Gerim throughout history, under all circumstances. Afal Gav Shein Mumchen, even though we don't have Mumchen. So the Rabbeinu Nisano says, no, you don't have to come out to Shlichusayu. It's not that, technically speaking, you need to have Mumchen, you need to have Smuchen, and absent Smuchen, you have to tap into the authority of the original Smuchen. No, there's never such a requirement. There's a special pasuk with Doros Echem that tells you Geirus must be able to take place throughout history, even absent Smuchen. And why should that be? Why would Rabbeinu Nisano be reluctant to accept Tosfos' position of Shlichusayu? Take a look at source number 8, the Rashba there in Yevamos and Zav on the days, third line. The Lekel LeMeimar Nami the Anan Shlichusayu Kavginan. So don't say, as Tosfos does, that we operate based on Shlichusayu. We operate based on agency of the original Dayanim. Kidavginan the Gittin the Kedushin of the Mammon, as we talk about in the context of Gittin, Kedushin, and Dinei Mammonis. To the Isa Perak and the Garish, the Gemara, the end of Gittin Peches. The Shani Hassam, the called the Mekadesh, Adaita Durabana Mekadesh. When it comes to matters of marriage and divorce, so there we invoke Shlichusayu, for example, to allow for coercion of a get under certain circumstances. That's because there is a koach that the Rabbanan have of called the Mekadesh, Adaita Durabana Mekadesh. When a person gets married, it's done with the buy-in, with the assumption that you're linking into the system as the rabbis define it, and therefore they have the ability to define or undefine whether a marriage is in effect. The chayim b'mam and hefker bez and hefker. When it comes to matters of commercial disputes, when it comes to kosher mishpat, so any money, any transactional activity is governed by hefker bez and hefker. Bez and has the authority to remove money from one party and perhaps to give it to another party. But here we're not talking about called the Mekadesh Adaita Derabana. We're not talking about Hefker Beth and Hefker. Here we're talking about whether someone's Jewish or not. So how can you just rabbinically wake up and say, according to Torah law, the person's not Jewish? Rabbinically will come up a Shlichusayu to make the person Jewish. That's going too far. So the Rashi says, for that reason, he's reluctant to embrace the Shlichusayu. That's why you have to come on to something like the Doros Echem. There must be a special Zeir Fakasuv, a special pasuk that tells you that we have license to perform Geirus throughout history. Is there any difference between, any practical difference between these two approaches, between the approach of the Shlichusayu agency and the approach of the Doros Echem, Zeir Fakasuv, a pasuk that tells you that we have license to perform Geirus forever? The Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tshuva. Har Tzvi Yoredeya Simen Reish Tezayin. Reish Tezayin. Where he discusses the Nafka Mina in the following context. You don't have it in the source sheet. I was advised not to include wrong excerpts from tshuva literature so as not to get too confusing. So I'm going to summarize. The Tzvi Pesach Frank addressed the following situation. Back in the 1920s, the Syrian community in Argentina was faced with apparently significant intermarriage issues and issues with geirus done for ulterior motivation. So they decided to take the position that they will no longer conduct geirus within their community. If someone wants to be Megayer, they should go to Eretz Yisrael, and they'll take care of it there, but leave us out of it. This eventually morphed into what we know as the Syrian Takana of the 1950s, which went even further, not to accept Gerim at all. That's a different issue. But the original Syrian Takana in Buenos Aires in the 1920s just said, we're not going to do Gerim here, and we'll farm it out. Rav Kook wrote a letter, that's a good idea. And if you have any serious Geirus candidates, send them to me in Eretz Yisrael, and we'll take care of it here. Fine. So Tzvi Pesach Frank addressed the following. Let's say in Buenos Aires, in the Syrian community, a ad hoc Bezdin would get together and perform a geirus against the wishes of the established kehila. Would that geirus be valid? You have three kasher dayanim. They get together, they establish an ad hoc bezdin, but it's going against the takana of the local kehila. So the Tzvi Pesach Frank thinks that this should be dependent on our issue. If the whole basis for performing geirus nowadays is shlichusayu agency, so how can you argue that these people who are going against the wishes of the community have the ability to tap into that mantle of agency of the original Dayanus Milka? They're going against the establishment of the local community. So if you have to operate with shlichusayu, he thinks that that's not going to work. If we have Ludoros Rechemia, the Geirus Makasav, that Geirus would be valid forever, and you don't need Dayanim Mumchem, there's no notion of Shifusayu. So any Geirus done with three Kashur Dayanim, with the proper process, is going to be a Kashur Geirus. So he thinks that if you accept the notion of Shifusayu, then this Geirus done against the wishes of the local community would be invalid. Or Sameach writes something similar, Perek Yudaliti Shurei Bia Halacha Yugimel, that let's say someone converts for ulterior motivation. A geirus l'shem isha is a geirus in order to marry someone else. So a licha chila, you're not supposed to be megayir someone under such circumstances, let's say. And someone converts anyway. So the Gemara tells us, Yivamas Kaf Dalid, that even if you convert for ulterior motivation, at the end of the day, the geirus is a kosher geirus, as long as it followed accepted protocol. So that's very good as far as the geirus itself. But if the whole basis of geirus is shlichusayu, that you're tapping into the agency of the original dayanim smuchim, how can you argue that they give you this authority to do a geirus that l'chachila you shouldn't be doing? If geirus is shemisha, it should not be done l'chachila, so how could that be considered shlichusayu? Rav Moshe has a line in Dibros Moshe in which he says, that sounds like a good theoretical argument, but practically speaking, we don't operate that way. For whatever reason, practically speaking, we assume either because the equation isn't necessarily absolutely correct, or we assume, like the other reason of Lezer HaSechem, that a geirus done for ulterior motivations is still kosher at the end of the day. But this very issue became relevant about a decade ago, with the whole controversy that erupted in Eretz Yisrael regarding the conversions of the Maror HaGiur, the central conversion authority. The way to perform the avenue for state-recognized conversion in Israel is through what's called the Maror HaGiur, the state conversion authority, which, for whatever political reasons, is technically under the administrative control of the Prime Minister's office, going back to about the 1990s. The local Batei Din that do Gittin in Eretz Yisrael, the Batei Din that do Yerusha, the Batei Din that do other things, but they did in Eretz Yisrael aren't allowed to do Chosh Mishpat either, because there was a Supreme Court directive about 20 years ago that the official Bate Din can't do Chosh Mishpat. So if you want to have a Din Torah in Eretz Yisrael, you have to go to a unofficial Bezdin. It's a different parsha. But so those Bate Din that are only allowed to do Gittin and Yerusha, that's the extent of their mandate, so they don't do Geirus either. Geirus is done with the Maror HaGiur. And some claim that the Maror HaGiur has lower standards than the standards that Batei Din should have for Geirus. So Rav Shturmbach has a tshuva. In Tshuvas Van Hagas has a few tshuvas. Chelek Aleph Tafresh Yud, Tafresh Yud Aleph. He writes, he has a shul in Harnof, Rav Shturmbach from the Ravad of the Eidah Haredes. He has a shul in Harnof. So he writes that someone came to have an ufer from the shul one Shabbos, and he discovered that this person, the chassan, had a geirus with the Maror HaGiur Bezdin. He doesn't mention the name of the person, but we know who it was. And he says, even though this person was a very fine young chassan, totally observant, he had no question about his commitment, he wasn't prepared to accept the geirus because it was done with the Maror HaGiur. And what was the concern? He says as follows, that if people do geirus with halakhically unacceptable standards, they'll convert people who aren't going to be living observant lifestyles. So how can you argue that they have the authority of shlichusayu, that they tap into the agency of the original dayanim smuchim, they're not doing what the law requires. So even if on occasion they'll get it right, if their standards are that they'll convert someone who's not going to be observant, and even sometimes they'll convert someone who is observant, so even that time it's not going to be a kosher geirus, because these people have no right to invoke the authority of Shlich Lusayit. And this was the crux of the debate in the Beit Din HaGadol, in a case, I believe, from 2008, the Supreme Rabbinic Court of Appeals in Israel, where a lower court had ruled that a certain person who converted with the conversion authority was not halachically Jewish because they didn't accept to live an observant lifestyle at the time of the Geirus, and therefore they didn't require a get for the woman, whatever the details were, and this was bumped up to the Court of Appeals. And in 2-1 decision, Rabbi Sherman and Rabbi Israel against Rabbi Duchovsky ruled in accordance with the lower court opinion that the geirus wasn't good, and Rabbi Sherman used this to have a whole attack on the Merach HaGiur and the head of Merach HaGiur at the time, that they engaged in substandard geirus, and all the geirus is no good for this reason, partially because of the society that you can't invoke the mantle of authority from the earlier Bais HaDin if you're going to use lower than acceptable standards. Rav Sternbach does throw out a bone, so to speak, a way out, Shuvas van Hogas Chela Dalit Shem Reish Lamed, that maybe if the people doing this are doing it for what they view to be acceptable reasons, for nationalistic reasons, they think that there's a sociological crisis because of all the Russian population, and if you don't lower your standards for geirus, then the next generation is going to be rampant intermarriage because there's so many Russians who are integrated into Israeli society, so we have to lower standards. So Rav Sternbach says, well, maybe if they're doing it for those noble intentions, so maybe that doesn't possible them. So if in a given case they get it right, and there is a proper Kabbalah Samitzvos, then that could be a kosher gate. Okay. So what, who is eligible to serve as a dayan for geirus? Take a look at source number 10. This is Chosha Mishpat Hilchos Dayanim, the beginning of Siman Gimel. So in general Chosha Mishpat matters, general Bezdin matters, Ein Bezdin Pachos Mishlosha. A Bezdin requires 3 sitting members. The Kol Shlosha Nikron Bezdin. Any 3 people constitute a Beis Din. Afilu Hadyotos. Even if they are, I won't translate Hadyotos, but less than fully proficient. The Efshar, the less behuchad, the Odeya Saris Bedina. Because even if you have Hadyotos, at least one of them is going to know what he's doing. Avali less behuchad, the Yoda, Pasalada. But if you don't have one person who knows what he's doing, then the Beis Din doesn't get off the ground. So as long as Rashi explains in the beginning of Sanhedrin, the one person who knows what he's doing is going to whisper in the ear of the other two what they should be doing, and hopefully they'll get it right. So as long as you have one member of the Beis Din that's proficient in the halachos, knows what he's doing, that Beis Din is a kosher Beis Din. It doesn't mean that that's the Beis Din you should run to. But the Beis Din is a kosher Beis Din as long as one person knows what he's doing. Yeah. How do we know if they know what they're doing?
Yes.
So if you're asking what Beis Din has the authority to force people to submit to their jurisdiction, and how do I know that someone forcing me to submit to his jurisdiction is a mumka? That's a good question, but practically speaking, we don't really in America have any situation of a Beis Din that could force someone to come to their jurisdiction. Whatever we do is based on Kiblu Alayu, is based on the notion that we accept the authority of whatever Beis Din we're submitting to, and once you're operating with Kiblu Alayu, then as long as then you figure out if you're willing to accept that Beis Din. If one Beis Din is not in you, you have the right to go to a different Beis Din instead. Okay. So Shulchan Aruch says in the Chosh Mishpat in general, as long as you have one person who knows what he's doing, that's sufficient. Is that the case by geirus as well? As long as you have one person who knows what he's doing, that's sufficient. Take a look at the Me'iri, going back to source number 9. The Me'iri, Yevamos Namzayin Amun Aleph. Mikol makom, the Talmidei Chachamim anu tzrichim. Even though we don't need mumchim, we don't need tzruchim, we don't need people smicha going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, but Talmidei Chachamim, at least that we need. So the Iri seems to say that for Geirus you need three Talmidei Chachamim. Ramosha has a tshuva, Chelak Aleph Kufnun Tes, that Begeirus also, we assume in Kosher Mishpat for Dinei Torah, that as long as you have one person who knows what he's doing, then that is Kosher. It doesn't mean that that's the ideal, but the question is, the push comes to shove. If Begeirus was done, where only one person knows what he's doing, the other two people are Dayanim Cherim, but they're not Mumchim, that would be Kosher, so says Ramosha. Okay. Source number 11, Kosher Mishpat Simen Zayin Sif Tes, Kol Apsulim Machmas Korva, O Machmas Aveira Apsulim Ladin, to anyone who's related to the parties or related to the other Dayanim, is a Pasul. The relative is a Pasul. Or if someone is a Pasul Machmas Aveira, if someone is a sinner, that would be one example. Someone is a sinner, is an avariant, he's Pasul Eidus as well. So that would transfer to Geirus just the same. Krovim cannot be Dayanim. They get to be related to the person being the Gaira. That's a little bit difficult because the person who's being the Gaira isn't Jewish yet. But the issue is to be related to the other Dayanim. Yeah. Sounds like it's a little bit off topic, so let's talk about that afterwards. So I just want to cover some more ground in the last 10 minutes we have. So Krovim, if the Dayanim are Krovim to each other, that would be possible. The Shachter thinks that even in the following case, Krovim is an issue. Let's say it used to be more common than now, but you adopt a non-Jewish child and convert them. So can the adoptive father be a member of that Besdin? He's not halachically related to the kid. So Rishakhtar thinks that's still a problem of Nogeya B'davar, of having a vested interest. You can't be a Dayan if you have a vested interest in the case, if you have a conflict. So Rishakhtar thinks that the adoptive father couldn't be on the Bezdin to do Nogeya, the adoptive kid, because that's a Psul Nogeya. That's a Chiddush. I think most women assume that way. But that's a Psul Nogeya. But anyway, Krovim, if the Dayanim are related to each other, that's definitely a problem. Source number 12 is a Mordechai Nivamos Kuf Yud Aleph, who talks about a ger who is tovel in front of three relatives, but that's going with the position that geirus isn't, that bezdin isn't ma'ake for milu tefila. So if bezdin isn't ma'ake, it is going to be kosher without a bezdin. So you have a pasul bezdin, that's no worse than no bezdin. But to the extent that bezdin is required, so then you can have dayanim that are related to each other. I've encountered over the years at least a couple of instances of people who discovered way after the fact that they were converted by an Orthodox rabbi who sat on a bezdin together with a relative. One case with a brother, one case with a son. That's what we call rabbinic malpractice of the highest order. Those are hadyotos. I mean, how do you not know that that a karav is possible to be on a bezdin? Yeah. Right. So you still have two other warm bodies, and that fulfills the requirement of it having a tactical dancing. Once the person who knows what he's doing tells the other people what to do, then all three of them know what they're doing. Right, so, but as long as the warm bodies are told what to do, they're prompted. Yep, good. Source number 13. Another qualification for Dayanim. Kosher Mishpat Zayin Yud Aleph. Bezdin shel gimel sarach sheyeh b'chol echan mehem zayin dvarim. So Bezdin has to have the following seven traits. Chachma, wisdom, anava, modesty, yira, fear of God, sinas mammon, can't like money too much. Avas Emes loves the truth. Avas Abrios loves people. Bali Shem Tov and good reputation. So that knocks most of us out. So that sounds like that's a lechachila, that the ideal is that the Yanim should have all of these qualifications. All seven qualifications. All three members should have all seven qualifications. No, they don't have to be Talmid HaChachama, but they have to have Yirat Shamayim, and Chachma doesn't mean that they're Talmid HaChachama. It means that they have a certain level of wisdom. Okay. So Rav Shechter quotes the Chazon Ish on source number 14. The Chazon Ish appears in a couple places. One of them is here in Gittin, Simen Kuf Aleph, Os Yud Ches, the last paragraph, a little bit small, but I'll tell you what he says. He says that when it comes to these seven qualifications, if a person is way off average, that's going to possible him. Meaning that people are within a certain range in terms of their Yiras Shemayim Kosha, in terms of their Chachma Kosha, but it's in terms of their reputation. But if someone is so way off that he has a horrible reputation, that he has no Yiras Shemayim, that no one likes him, that he's a big Baal Gaiva, more than the norm, everyone has a little bit of Gaiva. But if he's a major Baal Gaiva, then he's going to be puzzled even to the other. So if someone is a Baal Gaiva to the extreme, if someone is an Oiv Mammon to the extreme, that's going to puzzle even to the other. This is relevant, the issue of taking money for Geirus. At what point is taking money relevant to Dinei Torah too? But somehow there, when it comes to Dinei Torah, it's a little bit more apparent what's considered Shochan. But if you take money for Geirus, so certain administrative fees are understandable, that it costs money to run an operation. But if you take a lot of money, that raises questions about Shochan. Is that considered bribery? And if a Dayan takes Shochan, then Kol Dina Betalim, then everything that he does is going to be Batel. It's not Tal. So Rav Sternbach talks about that also. Chelek Aleph Simen Tav Reish Bei, that if a Dayan takes a disproportionate amount of money for Geirus, that's impossible to get with. Unfortunately, we have that that happens. You read the indictment of a previous prominent rabbinic figure in Israel who served jail time, that one of the big claims against him dealt with gayrus involving six figures of dollars. And there wasn't a one in the front of it. So this, unfortunately, is something that we encounter. I usually point out that in my experience, there's an inverse proportion between the money taken for Geirus and the quality of the Geirus. The more money you pay, the lower the product that you get, and the quicker the process. That's a very good question. We've had to deal with this, unfortunately, in our line of work as well. It's more than a regal achas answer, but the short answer is that if we're talking about psul derabanan, so then most situations of psul derabanan require hakraza, which means that you only passel someone once the alleged misdeed is known and he's warned about it. So if you find out retroactively that someone is involved in Bezdin matters, and then years later there's some inappropriate action that goes on, but that action wasn't known at the time and it wasn't public at the time, so then very likely the Maisa Bezdin is still valid, but that there are more details in that beyond the scope of what we can discuss now. Yeah. So that's part where the Chazon Ish is saying that there's a certain range of acceptable norms, and if someone is way off the range, that's going to be a problem.
These
not. I happen to be talking about Geirus. What I'm saying is that whatever applies to Tosha Mishpat should presumably transfer it to Geirus as well. Correct. Absolutely. Okay. Let's just, yeah. Ah, so that's a good segue to the last issue I wanted. Yes? Right. Good, good. Okay, so that's a good segue to the last sugya that I'm not going to have time to do justice to. But just briefly, I think I'll take an extra minute or two since we started a couple minutes late. So briefly, we have the following. I discovered in our files a correspondence about something that happened in the early 1970s. There is an Orthodox rabbi who did a geirus for a mother. The mother had children. Children applied to Jewish day school. The principal was going through the geirus paperwork as he should have, and he noticed something strange, that on the two death geirus of the mother, on the geirus certificate, there were two people with the same last name. And he discovered, as we said before, that it was a father and a son who sat on the geirus together. So that's... That is a problem. Even if we assume that Bezdin is an Akeh for Tvila and Nila, then it is an Akeh for Kabbalah and Mitzvah. So they said that about this. The woman, the story was, the woman was prepared to do another Geirus, but she didn't. She already had a few children, and she didn't want the children to know about this whole story, so she didn't have to do a Geirus on the children who were born after her Geirus. So this question got sent to a prominent rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, who had any official state position, and he responded with the following innovative argument, that you could validate the geirus of the children on the following basis. It's true that one of the dayanim on the geirus was knocked off because it was a father-son. So whichever one you knock off one of them. Fine. So you're left with two. So as far as the Nila Tzvila is concerned, two is enough. Okay, what about the Kabbalah Samitzvah? That you need three, four, according to everyone. So at the mikvah, when they did the Kabbalah Samitzvah, there's a fourth person there. So you can be Mitzarev, the fourth person, to be the third, and then it's considered that you had a Bezdin of three. So that makes a few assumptions, each one of which is questionable. Assumption number one is that you don't say Nimsa Echa Mehan Karva Pasol Edus on the Tela by Dayanim. Source number 15, the Mishnah Makos. If you have a group of Edim, you have 100 Edim, they all testify together. You knock out one of them, you knock out the other 99 also. So that's true by Edim, by witnesses. What about by Dayanim? Let's say you have four Dayanim sitting together, you knock out one. There's a bell. You knock out one, or the other three kosher. So that's the machlokas Rishonim, that's the machlokas Rashi, the Ritva source number 17 and 18, and that's very questionable halacha if you could be makel about that. Assumption number two, the fourth person who was in the room, he wasn't planning on being a dayan for geirus, he was just there. So can an innocent bystander who had no intention of being on the bezdin de facto be on the bezdin? So that touches on another issue, yediyas hadayanim, the dayanim have to know what they're doing. Douglas Rivava, source number 19. What's his case? If a woman converts while she's pregnant, the geirus counts for the kid as well. Let's say the bezdin doesn't know that she's pregnant. Let's say she doesn't know that she's pregnant. The bezdin definitely doesn't know that she's pregnant. Does the geirus count for the kid if the bezdin doesn't know? Douglas Rivava, the Nod of Yehuda, the Five Shulchan Aruch, raises this issue. He's not sure. Aruch HaShulchan is Mako. Many are Machmir. Rav Shechter thinks Davar Pashti, you have to be Machmir in that Shaila. So here also, if the Dayanim don't know what they're doing, that he's supposed to be a Dayan for Geirus, it doesn't work either. So there are a couple of questionable assumptions in this fact, but this all speaks to the issue of qualifications for Dayanim, what the Dayanim need to be aware of, the role of Bezdin in Geirus. And just to conclude, as a practical matter, even if we could construct a Bezdin that is kosher l'Geirus, it doesn't mean that that's l'chachila, that the system works better where there are people who know what they're doing who are managing the process, and that avoids all these kinds of pitfalls that unfortunately we've seen over the years.